Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
I'm Robbie Knox, and I'm the landlord of The Moon Underwater, a mystical place where guests create their dream pub. Hello, welcome back to The Moon Underwater, where we are with Elliot Steele designing his dream pub. And in it, it has a corner of moral dubiousness. It's got quite a lager-heavy selection so far, but we're going to get on to other selections now. But first of all, we've got Dan with the answers to the pub quiz.
Yeah. So it's names to people with names that have got a metal in them, like Elliot.
Yep.
Question one. What metallic name, so it's someone, full name, links Charles Dickens to the Great Wall of China?
Have you got this one?
No.
I do actually have this one.
Go for it. I don't have any of these.
It's slightly unfair on you, I think, Elliot, for I'll tell you why after. Yeah.
It's David Copperfield, isn't it?
David Copperfield.
Oh, right.
Because he made it disappear, the magician.
He did a trick where he walked through the wall. Yeah,
oh, is that what it was?
Yes,
yeah.
Walking through. I thought it was made it disappear. When I looked it up, it was he walked through.
Right, yeah.
And it's not, he did that in 1986. That's why I say it's a bit unfair as well, before you were born. But you can watch it on YouTube. And at the time, it was a massive thing, wasn't it? Like David Copperfield walked through the Great Wall of China. Watch it. Oh, that. He puts up a sort of a sheet and then it's his shadow, and then his shadow sort of disappears through the wall. Then they go around the other side and put the sheet up again. And then they do some like funny stuff, and then they take the sheet down and he's there. And you go, well,
that's real shit.
I mean, he clearly hasn't done it. And so he's just been transported some way to the other side. It's like, it's not that. But at the time, it was this enormous.
It's weird tricks. Because I'm not that into magic and that.
Yeah.
Like when David Blaine goes in a box for like a month or whatever like that, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not that.
Sort of close-up stuff is far more interesting to me than sort of big illusions like that.
There's a great show on Netflix called Magician's Secrets Revealed.
They show you
how they do all the tricks and stuff.
Yeah.
And I've watched that and I'm like, it's always way simpler than you think.
It's so
like you overcomplicate it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I just did this. And you're cool. Yeah. No, I do like magic. Like,
do you remember when David Blaine did his box thing on the Thames and Paul McCartney started throwing things at him?
Well, someone flew a hamburger. Someone got a remote controlled helicopter. I went to see it. I was about a kid, and someone got a remote controlled helicopter and flew like a hamburger up near him because he was starving. Which is why you can't do things in the UK.
It was so unserious. It was so cynical about anything like that.
Yeah.
And it was just like, why are you doing it here? Like, if you'd done it in America, people would have been going, "That is amazing."
Yeah,
like,
and here went up there, going, like, "Yeah, there he is." Look at that prick in his box. It thinks he's better than us. Yeah. Thing is, now in London, you'd have to pay $5,000 a month to be hung up in there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do love our cynicism, though.
Yeah,
I do.
It's good.
I think it's
healthy.
I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I like in America when they're really enthusiastic as well. Like, I like both sides of it. I think I might have mentioned this on here before, but I was in July 4th, I was on a road trip across America. We were in Washington. It wasn't that long after 9/11, and we were we went to watch the fireworks in the big park, the one that's got all the Lincoln Memorial, I don't know what it's called, in the middle of Washington. And as we were going in, the police were searching the bags. And in Britain, everyone would be getting so annoyed. Mm. Like, oh, for God's sake, a queue and all this sort of stuff. And this policeman searched some guy's bag in front of me. And the policeman just put his hand, and the guy just went, "Hey, man," to the policeman. He goes, "Thanks for keeping us safe." I thought, there's no one in Britain would ever say that, ever.
Oh, they'd just be pulling out bottles of drink. We're trying to sneak in. You can't bring that in. Oh, yeah. What the fuck's wrong? It's £8 for a bomb a day.
It's for a proper country. Okay, so good. One question done.
One question. Okay, Mike Tyson used the nickname Iron Mike in his career, but he did have two other nicknames. Can you name one of them? Pretty famous.
I think I will kick myself. I can't think of any of them. I thought you'd have that with your
fighting. I don't know.
So the harder one, which is the name he had when I didn't know this actually, when he debuted in 1985, he was Kid Dynamite.
Oh, I was going to say Kid Gorgeous, and then I backed out of it because I was
might have given you half a point for getting the kid.
Fuck, I knew. Yeah,
that's, and it's amazing. Like when he made his debut, he fought 15 times in a year.
Yeah,
and he won all 15.
Yeah, he fought at amateur. Like he was quite early on in the amateurs, wasn't he? And Cus D'Amato.
Yeah,
took him on.
His trainer, yeah.
And then when he died is when everything went a bit wrong. Yeah.
He was like sort of father figure for him, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he was an insane character, Mike Tyson. Yeah. It's really interesting to listen to now because he talks about it all quite openly. And
he's a really interesting talker.
Yeah, fascinating character. He's really good episodes of Joe Rogan where he has him on and he's quite normal, and then he has him on when he's about to have a fight. When he was about to fight. Who was it he fought? Was it Roy Jones Jr. Exhibition match? Yeah. And he's a different guy.
Yeah.
And on the first one, he talks about how, you know, I can't let that demon out of me. And then he goes on this Rogan episode and you're like, oh, you're two different people. Yeah. Like, yeah. And he's going to have that now with this Jake Paul fight, which I don't think he'll do very well in.
I didn't know that was when I was looking at this, I didn't know that was happening. But it's going to be...
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, there's a no knockout clause.
Yeah.
So, and that would be his only way of victory, I think. I don't think he'd make it through the round. Jake Paul's a very good fighter. He's not, you know, I know people don't think he is, but he's an incredibly, very, very skilled fighter. Yeah. And more importantly, 30 years younger.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, the other nickname is the baddest man on the planet.
All right.
I wouldn't have got that. Okay.
No. Yeah. So it's quite a long nickname. Yeah. But I thought the reason for that was quite interesting. It said, I read a thing that said, this is the story behind Mike Tyson's nicknames. And it said, for the baddest man on the planet, Sky Sports once referred to Mike Tyson as the most ferocious fighter to step inside a professional ring. What's that got to do with the baddest man on the planet? I mean, it's sort of related, but it's not those words. Yeah.
I thought that was what they always called the heavyweight champion. Yeah, he's the baddest man on the planet. Yeah. And it was,
And now sometimes by some younger fighters, they call him Uncle Mike because he gives nice advice and stuff. Oh. So it's sort of softened. Yeah.
That's nice.
And who wore the number 2 shirt for the England women's team at the 2023 World
Cup?
Not
a clue.
I don't know.
Lucy Bronze?
Okay.
So it'd be all Jay Barton about it. Yeah. I didn't know.
I didn't feel like, I'm challenging Joey here. It's because I support Scotland. That'd be the reason. Go with that.
I've got a nice little fact about Lucy Bronze, though. Her grandmother was a caretaker at Lindisfarne Castle, which was built as a defensive fort in the 16th century to protect the island from potential Scottish invasions. And I found that on the Beano website.
Okay. Just on there.
And I guess, and the fourth question was what comic character was invented by Hergé?
Tintin.
Okay.
Well done.
Okay. Not a high scoring quiz.
Not high scoring. Well done, though. So 2-1 to Robbie?
You've done one me on your pub quiz, too.
Most pub quizzes are better than that. time now for Spirit, Elliot. What's your first spirit choice?
A Balvenie 12. I think it's a single word cherry. Sherry casket.
Yeah. Is it the double wood?
Yes. Yeah, sorry, double wood. Which I was the first Scotch I drank that got me into whiskey. I really like my whiskey, and I love my Scotch, and that's the first one I drank as sort of an introductory into it. That I went, oh, this is fun. Because every time I'd been bought a nice whiskey before, like someone bought me one in a pub and like, try this, try that. I would be like, this doesn't taste very nice.
Yeah.
And when I had that, I was able to sort of use that as a base to then open my palate a little bit and go for some of the more harder stuff and start working on the Laphroaigs and the things like that. Even like, you know, I think Glenfiddich is a good introductory into, you know, whiskey's meant to suck.
Mm.
Yeah. It's meant to not be fun to drink. And that's the fun of drinking it, is you then sort of learn how to embrace the suck of it.
Yeah.
And so I have a little bit of a whiskey collection at home and like,
nice.
Yeah. So they're, I know it's all gone from Brewdog to.
Layers like an onion here.
Yeah. Right? And that's like one that I'll always have. And you know, I used to drink it with ice in it and now I drink it neat. And my Scottish friends used to get very annoyed that I'd have like a bit of ice in it or something like that.
I remember some whiskey. I've never been into whiskey. I've never got bored. I've tried not lots, but I've tried a bit every now and then sort of thing. But someone did say to me, just add water to it recently, which I haven't done yet. But it doesn't matter. Just do that.
I said this before, but like our friend Mike, he's from Scotland. I went to stay with his family once and his dad would like, we got there and he was like giving us whiskey. I was like, no, I don't really like it. And he said, oh, well, look, you just add a bit of water and keep sniffing it. Mm-hmm. And when it doesn't burn your nostrils, that's when it's right for you. And I did that. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then I liked it. It was really good. But it was nice that he didn't have that sort of snooty, like, oh, you can't put water in it. But if you read any like whiskey company, none of them say don't ever put water or ice in it. They always go, you can add a little bit of water in.
Yeah, I used to like chill in the glass a little bit and then add in the whiskey and I would sort of cool it down. And then as I sort of got on with it a bit more, I was able to just go to like drinking it neat and, you know, things like Talisker and stuff like that. And I can't drink Laphroaig anymore because I did a Christmas where I did a bottle of it. And I did it on Christmas Eve and fuck, that sucked. Two of the worst hangovers I've ever had have been on Christmas Day. One was when me and my mate were in Egypt and we went out to a nightclub, Pasha, and it was £25. Cab there, cab back, entry, all you can drink. And I was like 17.
Oh, wow.
And
got your money's worth.
I threw up in a hotel plant pot. And then on Christmas Day, I had my first hangover where you know you keep throwing up.
Yeah.
You just, it's nonstop. You know when your back in the room spins.
Yeah.
And I'd been drinking their house Jack Daniels. It wasn't Jack Daniels, but they're like JD and Coke. And fuck, I'd never had like a whiskey hangover before.
Yeah.
And that was bad.
How long till you could drink whiskey again after that?
Well, actually, the first ever fucks I got on whiskey was on my dad's collection where he didn't know about it for years. Me and my friends were having a sleepover and he had the like Highland, like, you know, you meant to smell it and drink it. I thought those were shot glasses. So I'm pouring in like these like £50 bottle of whiskeys. I'm pouring in like a, just like these things thinking you meant to shot it because like, you know, that's what they do in the films. But it's like a double or triple shot. So I was knocking them back. My dad was out. I threw up outside the window. My dad somehow didn't notice that a load of his whiskey was gone for years. He thought we'd had some other bit. Like he sort of came back. I remember him saying like he saw a bit of like this gin he had been drinking and a little bit of him was proud. Like, oh, they've done a bit of drinking. He didn't know the extent of the fucking chaos that had gone on for the few hours he was out. And after that, I couldn't drink whiskey again that was Scotch. Then I had bourbon at that one Christmas. Then when I went in sort of the last 3-4 years, venturing into the world of Scotch, it's really nice when you go into something like whiskey and I think you start to understand it.
Yeah.
You start to get what it is. And I like my some of the Japanese whiskeys as well. Just the single malts they do there are just beautiful. Mm. And yeah, I fucking love it. And like I've got a friend up in Scotland who has his own bar and pub and stuff. And he's like one of those people, like, if you come up and you like a whiskey, he's going to bring out the nice ones if he knows you like whiskey. Because he's like, oh, I've got these. And I think there's something great about having a nice whiskey and understanding it, going, oh, this one's a bit peaty or this one's this. Yeah. And it's always meant to suck. Whiskey isn't meant to be a fun drink. Yeah. It's meant to be a sucky drink that you've taught yourself how to drink it. I think like a whiskey and a cigar, you know, I don't really know too much about cigars, but like whenever I've had a cigar and a whiskey, fuck, you feel cool.
Yeah.
That's such a cool feeling.
Yeah. When are you generally drinking whiskey? Is it something you'd have late in the evening?
Not for
is
a while. I go through phases with it. I think a nightcap of a whiskey is a really good thing. But I wouldn't drink whiskey to get drunk anymore.
No.
I'd have like two or three and then chill with it, because it's a whiskey hangover is a bit, yeah, that's a kick in the balls, yeah, man. That's a brutal hangover.
Have you got any facts for us, Dan?
Well, just stuff about, I mean, I don't know a lot about whiskey, but just it was quite interesting reading about how this one's made, because they put it in whiskey casks for years.
Whiskey casks?
Yeah, in whiskey casks first.
Okay.
And then once it's taken out of that, they put it in European oak sherry casks.
Yes.
Right.
And that gives it like the fruity and the honey and all of that.
I think if you want to make a, if you know, there's like a thing in a whiskey community, like if you, I was just look things up about it, find it quite interesting that, you know, they have a thing like if you ever buy like a really expensive bottle of whiskey, you're meant to buy two, one to drink, one to sell, and you'll eventually get your money back. And with those, the Balvenie Sherrywoods, like what I've been told is if you were to buy them now, because there's actually like less sherry's being produced, so it's actually going to be harder to make those, that would be like the next, like, you know, because there's like bottles of Glenfiddich from 1950. The only reason they're worth anything is because there's not many of them. It's not to do with taste. Like a lot of these things, a lot of the whiskies that are expensive, it's just we don't make those anymore, or we haven't got that kind of barrel anymore. And I think these are the ones that within the next sort of 20, 30 years, so I've been told, and this person could be talking utter shit, and do not bankrupt yourself on what some idiot on a podcast says. But that's the one that I've heard, like, you know, that's worth investing in. Have I done it? No. But
keep drinking it.
Yeah. It's a fucking fantastic. It's a great introductory, because it's sweet.
Yeah.
It's a great introduction to whiskey, I think. More so than like your Glenfiddich and stuff like that.
Fabulous. What's your second spirit choice?
I like a Grey Goose.
Okay.
I like a vodka. I like a... That's, again, vodka's something as I get older and I learn how to drink it. And I like Grey Goose is such a smooth... Yeah, it's a wanky drink. You know, people ordering it in a club and sparklers coming out of it and using it as this status thing. Utter shit. But... And if people want to send me suggestions for vodka, I would really love to extend my vodka knowledge. But vodka is something that whenever I've drank that, and again, I can do a bottle of that like in a night, sort of, if I was to drink.
Yeah.
Like not a huge one, but I did that. I was doing Reading Festival and I had to go back on for some reason. And they were like, I will get you, do you want a bottle of vodka? And I was like, yeah. And I was with my girlfriend at the time. And I drank the whole bottle, like just sort of sat through the day, just mixing it with Fanta. At one point, ended up out at this dance tent. And I'll just tell you what she said. She said, if you do MDMA with those teenagers, I'm going home. So we went, so I left with her.
So she went home.
I left with her. And we went back to London and her friend like owned this restaurant. We had this really nice meal. Woke up the next day like, you know when you wake up with no hangover and you go, fuck, I didn't get away with that. That's coming. I'm drunk enough to know.
Yeah.
We're still drunk here.
I didn't have a hangover. And I sat through the day going like, it's going to creep up. And I was like, I've got away with it.
Be all right.
And I've had that with vodka a few times where I think that's a drink that you can kind of pace yourself on. Drink a lot of it, have a great time, but you don't end up the worse for wear on it, I find. You know, I don't know if it's good, maybe sometimes you miss it, but Grey Goose is a thing that I can sip neat, sip with ice in it, you can put it in a drink. It's just a fucking great, versatile, goes with anything. And yeah, like I said, it's a prick's drink, like because of what people do with it. But I fucking love it as like a, like whenever I've got bottles of that at home, and I'm able to pour a few of them. Oh man, that's one of my favorite drinks. It's just so smooth. Mm. Like to have an alcohol that's smooth, I just love.
Well, they made it. It's one of the first vodkas that was made, like they focused on taste. That's what they say that they were trying to do, rather than just sort of make this is the purest vodka or whatever. They were like, I know we actually want it to taste nice.
What's the impurities in vodka, isn't it, that give it the taste, I think. I'm not too sure. Like I had a friend who knows a bit about alcohol, and again, could be talking shit. He went, technically he went, there's no better. He was like, proficiently Smirnoff, like just a bottle of that is like, he's like, that's meant to be the most pure. But he goes, anyone who likes alcohol, the better vodkas are the ones with the little bits of the imperfections in it. A vodka's something like I'd really like, and I really want to branch out into more. And, you know, again, for me, it's quite base level. Maybe like, you know, when you're a teenager, you drink Glens and then you sort of go on to Smirnoff. And then, but as I've got a bit older, I'm like, yeah, no, I do enjoy a Grey. I do enjoy it. Like, and it's a drink that has a status to it that I hate about it. I wish it didn't have that, because then it would be a cool thing to be like, have you tried this? Yeah. This is a fun thing to try. But it is ordered by dickheads who want... It's like Dom Perry on a champagne. I've never understood champagne. I've tried it. I've tried very nice champagnes. It's such a status symbol of a drink that I don't particularly... You know, again, wine's another thing. I've given such a go, but I think if someone gave that to me... If someone invented wine yesterday and went, have you tried this? I couldn't think of a single person who would go, that's amazing. I don't understand wine or champagne... And I think there's so much status about it that I think silly, but Grey Goose is my one that I'm the silly person who buys into.
I don't drink enough vodka, I don't think, to be able to tell the difference between vodkas. Is there a lot of difference in flavours between different vodkas?
Well, I just think, again, like I said, it's like smooth. It's quite, it's almost quite refreshing, like in a weird way. It's like, and you know, they do all that like flavoured shit that you can get, like an orange one and this, that, and the other. But I like the original classic one. I think it's a fucking great drink. And again, if you want to throw it in, which I know you're not meant to do with like a nicer thing, but that's what people do. I think, you know, any vodka, like if you add a vodka to a bit of like Fanta orange and suddenly you're sat in the sun at a festival, it's a fucking, you're having a good time, man. There's a band coming on, some teenagers have MDMA.
Dan, you went on the Trans-Siberian Railway and drank vodka,
didn't you? What was that like?
It was long, and it was, I was 19, and you start off in China and you sort of, there was a chef on board for cooking like Chinese food. It was amazing. That first meal there, we got hammered that first night. We just met some new people. Drinking, eating. My just still remember my friend just passed out on the floor of the carriage on the first night. And then it changes over into Russia and the food just kind of went quite a long way down. And we did drink a bit on there, but the train that where was the interesting one with vodka was once we got to Russia and we stayed in Moscow for a bit, and then we got a train to St. Petersburg, and we were in a cabin with just like a couple of Russian truck drivers, and they had, and we saw this quite a lot in Russia, with just like can of Coke sized cans of vodka and just kind of drinking it like it was Coke basically, and chocolate, and they just had chocolate like that. And go, what's going on? And then they were really nice, and we like couldn't speak any English, couldn't speak any Russian, but they were like, have some of this, and so we were just drinking from these cans, drinking vodka and eating their chocolate.
So like, it's a can of pure vodka.
Yeah,
I've drunk with Russians before, and they didn't speak a word of English, and I didn't speak a word of Russian, and it was just like, it just at the bar, just point shot. They were fucking great to drink with.
Yeah. It was great.
He then got a bit annoyed because a drag act went on stage and that one time. But it was like, all right, man. But yeah, I think just going for, I go like where I gig, like in sort of like Soho, Leicester Square quite a lot. We end up in Chinatown. I think there's nothing better than going to a good Chinese restaurant when you've had a few drinks, having another couple drinks and ordering like loads of good Chinese food. That's like the perfect
really nice
go with drinking food that there is, I reckon.
Yeah.
Like that up there. As well as if you're hammered, chicken and chips. When you're on your way back, you know, you go into a place and you overorder.
Yeah.
You're like, I need 5 cheeseburgers.
Every week, Dan asks one of our listeners for a suggestion that can go into a guest pub. Dan, have you been chatting to this week?
I'm chatting to Ellie this week. And Ellie says, I'll read this out. Elliot, you and your dad once had a roast battle on TV. So my suggestion for your pub is that you should be able to order a full roast every day of the week, no matter the time. 9 p.m. on a Tuesday, roast. 1 a.m. at the end of a Saturday night pub crawl, roast. A band's playing a gig, roast. Sundays aren't enough. And yes, all the trimmings are always available.
Fuck yeah, she's totally correct. You should. That's absolutely what I want to know.
It's in.
Yep.
100%. That, I have, right, so I have a theory on the pub roast that certain pubs that do it will charge like 25 quid, but it'll be incredible.
Yeah.
You eat it and you go, you forget the price. You go, fucking hell, that was amazing. But then when one pub does that, all pubs start doing it. It's kind of like the same with coffee.
Yeah.
There'll be one place that makes really nice coffee and it's £3.70. And you go there and you go, fucking hell, that was an amazing coffee. Mm. And suddenly Costa are charging it. And you go, no, you don't get a shot. That was their thing. They did that. That's what I feel with like the pub roast. So I'm always quite wary of ordering it in pubs. But 100%, she's spot on with that. And I like, best roast there is, Toby Carvery. Where you can just go there and it's just mass-produced shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you do that with like...
loads of meats.
Yeah, I want that in my pub, just in the corner. You got something. Yeah, dude, just go help yourself. I'm not serving you.
24 hours.
So is it a Carvery that you're going to have there at all times?
You just go, there's the plate. Fuck off, stop talking to me. Yeah.
The Infinity Carvery.
Yeah. Well, have more, man. I don't care. Yeah. Like, that's what I'd be like.
Okay. Yeah. So is this something that you'll be selling or are you just going to put it on as something for everyone that comes in?
We'll be, you know, come in, give us 20 quid to go help yourself.
Okay.
That's going to be
you
the...
you can eat roast.
Yeah.
Unlimited 24-hour carvery.
That is going to be... Yeah.
It's a long, old day.
4 a.m. Get those sage stuffing balls in the oven. I care that you want to see your family.
There's a restaurant in Norwich and there's a chain of them around the country that's... called Cosmo. Have you ever come across
these? Oh, dude, that was when that opened in Croydon.
Yeah.
That was fuck me. That was like, that what a 4 month period. That you were the height of status if you had gone to Cosmo.
Yeah. Have you?
I got a Thai green curry and a chicken korma. What?
Yeah.
Wow. Like, it's called sushi and profiteroles. Like,
they call it like world food buffet or something like that, and it's basically all the foods of the world, all you can eat for a pretty reasonable price. But it is
the worst.
I think it's the worst example of each food.
Yeah.
It's so like, bad.
The sushi there will be the worst sushi you will have in your
any
life.
Any sushi in a buffet, you've got to be pretty brave.
You could put sushi on the dashboard of your car in July for a week and it'll be better than this.
And everyone always just goes and gets like chips, onion rings, fried chicken anyway.
No, my kids love it and they'll come back with, it's like the complete collapse of society. It's so popular in our house. They will go up there and they'll come back with like some chips, some chicken nuggets, some sushi, and some ice cream on the same plate.
Oh yeah,
just dipping their chips in the ice cream and all this. Going, wow, just that's another example of the downfall of society.
Vegas buffets, the Vegas buffets,
they're incredible.
Yeah, but they look like they are really good.
I missed out. I didn't go to the Wynn one, and my mates went, and they came back and were like, "That was generally one of the best days of my life."
I can see that. Yeah,
the Wynn one was there.
They're like what you think Cosmo will be before you've been to Cosmo.
I went to the one at Excalibur. It was unfucking believable, and the quality was good.
Yes,
the quality. Like again, like when you go to Vegas, you realize when nukes drop on us, it's fair enough.
Yeah,
like
it's justified.
We
deserve this.
You'll get to it if there's a heaven. You're going to get to the pearly gates of St. Peter's. Going to go. Dude, you went to Vegas. You're
obviously
not coming in.
Obviously not.
People in Vegas watching it flying over and going,
Okay. You can't come in.
Yeah. Okay, well, Ellie's suggestion is quite comprehensively.
Yeah, 100%. That's fantastic.
The perpetual roast corner. There's a lot of themed areas of your pub, isn't there?
Yeah, like, it's
the roast, the dubious. Yeah.
It's good.
Not so big that there has to be a slide.
No. Maybe a roller coaster there? You like that in Vegas? A roller coaster in the pub? Or is that going to get too into the brew dog territory?
No, a pub's got to be for you're sitting there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Having a.
What about teacup ride? You have the drinks at the table.
All right, we'll have the teacups. The teacups is pretty fun.
Right, time now for the pub jukebox. And you can put one CD or mini disc into the jukebox.
Yeah.
What are you going to select?
I went from whatever people say, that's what I'm not.
Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah.
What album?
Which I'm sure that was an album I listened to when I was like 11 and liked it because it was an album that I listened to. I re-listened to it when I was 19 after going out and going, oh, that really encapsulates what it's like to go out in the UK where you spend your weekends going to some shit nightclub or some shit place. And that, you know, like I was saying earlier, that jump from you do that to eventually going to the pub.
Yeah.
It's such a great jump where you go, I'm sick of going out. There's nothing I hate more, especially in my line of work, than people who don't go out, who come out. They're the worst people. They're the worst people in the world because they don't understand how to drink. They don't understand how to behave. And it happens on New Year's Eve and Valentine's Day and St. Patrick's Day. Those are the three worst days to gig. Valentine's Day especially, because it's people who do not go out, who are now think they have to come out, and they come to a comedy show and they think because they've come out, they have to drink as much as humanly possible. When if you're a real drinker, you know how to drink at a show. You know how to behave. You know, there's people I know who can drink 9 beers at a comedy show and be fine. And there's people I know who can drink 2 beers at a comedy show and be fine. But they go out, so they know how to do it. That album encapsulates like the fucking dealing with those people who don't, you know, just you stood in it. You know, there's like just a whole song about just waiting for a cab.
Yes.
And just the mundaneness of it and how horrible it is and going to a nightclub and it just sucks and you're trying to chat to girls. And yeah, no, I love it. I think that's one of the best albums ever made.
It was such an exciting time when that record came out, because I remember I was working at Soccer AM at the time and I was doing all the music for it and booking bands and stuff like that. We actually had Arctic Monkeys. They did their first live studio interview on Soccer AM. But before the album came out, there was like a sort of bootleg going around of like recorded at, I think, London Astoria that had all the songs and everyone singing every word of it before this album's even been released.
Such
an exciting
time. They blew up on MySpace, didn't they, at first? Yeah. And then, you know, I don't really listen to any, I'm not the biggest music person in the world. Like, I don't know every kind. I have no problem with getting older not knowing who the fuck anyone is, because I didn't know who anyone the fuck was when I was meant to know. So I'm quite content with not knowing who people are. Yeah. But that's an album I always go like that. If I put that on, I listen from it beginning to end and go like, fuck, that's brilliant.
Brilliant record.
My first post-divorce pint. The gin I had in Hull. My nan's homemade buckfast. The rum I drank with Liz Hurley. The lager I stole from the pigeon detectives.
Right, it's time now for a drink in time. And this is where the moon underwater would transport you through the very fabric of time to an occasion from the past where drink was involved that you can relive one more time.
Oh, I'm gonna be very generic with this. But I remember the first, like, it was my first lad's holiday, and it was in Amsterdam, and it was a Heineken, and we were just sat around this table at this restaurant, and we ordered these beers, and it was just, we all got together, and we got brought these Heinekens, and it was Amsterdam, so we were allowed to, I remember, like, getting the beers, and we had these spliffs on us, and going to the woman, like, can we smoke this here? And she looked at me like an adult, and went, yes. Like, and she said it in a way that wasn't condescending. It was like, why are you bothering me with this question? And we're like, I remember just sitting there having these beers. We just sat by this river, all comics, all just talking shit to each other, just ripping on each other. That beer, and like to go with it, like in just any beer I have, like post show with my friends, where we sat around, we've just done a show, like, is one of my favorite fucking drinks. Like, when you're just sat around with my mates, regardless of what the beer is, could be a Camden Hells, could be a fucking K-Cider. I think any beer where you're sat there, and that's one that I always remember, is just with your mates talking shit to each other, is hands down the best beer, one of the best drinks you'll ever have. I know there's, you know, going to be like, I wish I had something like, you know, the beer that I'm going to have on a wedding day, or the wine that I've saved for that. But I think alcohol for me is a really big social thing, and I love being social with it. And that there is, when you're abroad, there's just something so exciting about getting a drink when you just arrive in a country.
Yeah,
you're just got your baggage out. Oh, the cab's going to be 30 minutes. should we go get a pint?
Yeah. The first one, when you all get there, is always nicest drink. Yeah.
But you know, when someone just suggests getting a drink. I mean, we ended up in this bar in Spain one time. These cheap cocktails that were just fucking amazing. And just being abroad drinking cocktail, my pina colada came in a pineapple. Oh, yeah. What a fucking, like,
yeah.
England had just beat Colombia in the World Cup. We were in Spain and we got chatting to these Colombians, just having a good time drinking with them. That there, like when you're just abroad with your pals, having a beer. When I die and my life flashes before my eyes, I know you're meant to say, oh, it's great to be surrounded by my family. It's because I'll be reliving the moments where I've just had a beer with, just had a drink abroad. That's fucking spectacular.
It is great. It's a great feeling. I know exactly what you mean about the reply from the Dutch person there, because I remember being once out there, and I like to, when you're abroad, you want to make an effort, not assume that everyone's going to speak English. Yeah. I say, do you speak English? I remember saying that to a Dutch person, saying, do you speak English? They're like, yeah. It's like, can you count? It's obviously why? Well, who said I can't speak English? It was like, can you read or something like that sort of thing. And they had a similar sort of response there.
Yeah, I love. I've only been to Amsterdam once. I'm trying to go over and do some gigs there, but I went once was enough. And I went out there and just got hammered and got way too stoned.
Yeah.
But I remember that on my first lad's holiday, just being sat there with that beer, just looking around so excited. Yeah. Like, fuck, look, we're somewhere else.
And you've got nowhere else to be as well. Like, you're going, that's the thing. You've gone, we can do whatever we want.
What a fucking
moment. It's a great city. One of the few places you can fly to direct from Norwich Airport.
Great.
Yeah, like, it's about a 35-minute flight.
You can get a boat, can't you? It's only over the water. That is a great. I remember being in a nightclub there, a little bit out of it, about 5 a.m. And I went to the bar to get a round of beers. And I think for 9 of us, English lads, we're not the rowdiest group of people. We're still English. And the guy gave them to me all in glasses. I remember looking at him like, are you fucking mental? And he was like, why can't you have a glass? And just being treated like an adult.
Yeah, yeah.
You realize when you go drink in European cities,
especially
places like Holland and Germany, they treat you like an adult.
Yeah.
Like in Germany, you're on a train platform. Of course you can have a cigarette and buy a lager.
Mm.
Why couldn't you do that? You're like, because everyone will fight each other and die here. Yeah. Because we'll go, fuck platform one. There's only platform two. Boo, platform one. And then we'll have a fight with platform one because we can't be trusted in this country because we're a nation. I think Britain's big thing is we're a nation of people who disguise our weaknesses as strength, and we think we're drinkers here. We're not. We're a nation of bad drinkers with a few good drinkers far and few between. And that's why if you watch UK nightlife, it's binge drink, it's to excess. Mm. And they do that in the over on the continent as well. But there's a bit more of a in France, let's go have some wine by the River Seine. I remember walking past some teenagers and they were doing underage drinking, but with wine. I did it with K cider. And I'm like, fuck.
That's the difference.
You got it a little bit more. But they still have a big booze problem. Yeah. You know, there's a film, Another Round, which I think encapsulates it, Danish drinking, but also British
great
drink.
Film, yeah.
Yeah, where it shows we're not alcoholics for the most part, but we're not able to be sober. And there's a distrust. I always think that's interesting in the UK if someone doesn't drink, where you go, what did you do?
Mm.
What have you done that you can no longer, what happened there? And if someone just goes, no, I just never took to it. You're like, fuck.
It's so bad now that people will offer you a reason without you even asking now.
Yeah.
And someone says, what do you want to drink? I got a pint and there's someone the other day and they said, I'll just get a Diet Coke. And they'll say, I don't actually drink that much. I don't have a problem. They just give this whole description of it. Go, oh, that's fine. Just have a Diet Coke. It's not a big deal. Yeah.
Whenever I've taken time off drinking, I've always gone I always set myself a rule of you have to be home by midnight.
Yeah.
Because once you stay out past midnight, it's just you can't. You're not going to be in the conversation. There's no point. Everyone's going to be there, and you don't realize it.
Yeah.
I'd love to be the kind of person who could just have one beer. But I fucking love, you know, when I'm having one and I'm halfway down, I'm like, that second one's going to be good as well.
Yeah. I'm quite good at one beer these days. Yeah, I can quite happy have a pint and then just go off on it sort of thing. But I wouldn't have when I was younger, really. I think I'd either do nothing or loads.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'm a lot more, because I'm 46, the impact of having multiple beers is like, if I have like four beers, that's like a day and a half, 2 days written off.
Yeah.
So it's
it gets quite bad.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, I'll have to look forward to.
Yeah.
Sorry about bringing it down.
You got a while, yeah. So it's all right.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Pub mates, pick your dream pub companion, someone to spend an evening in the pub with. Pub mates, it can be anyone, Darren Bent or Danger Mouse. Pub mates, they could be alive or dead, but if they're dead, they'd be alive for this. Otherwise, you're drinking with a corpse. Pub mates, it's really, really great.
Right, Elliot, you get to take someone with you to the moon, your moon underwater. They can be someone alive or dead. Obviously, if they're dead now, they'd be alive for the purpose of the drink. You have to Weekend at Bernie's it. Who are you going to bring?
God.
Nice.
I think God would be great to have a pint with.
Yeah. I mean, you've gone straight.
Yeah, straight to the top.
Straight to the top, haven't you, sort of thing.
What the fuck?
You've not even invited Jesus. You've invited his dad.
Yeah. Well, you guys invited my dad on before you invited me. I think drinking with God would be a fucking great time.
What do you think he drinks? Wine, communion wine.
Grey Goose.
Yeah,
he's not gonna drink communion wine. That's his
gonna be a bit of a about it. he's gonna be one of those people who
you never know.
There's some like obscure IPA.
Yeah. Oh, you think he's really just craft ales?
Yeah, craft ales.
And he'll be furious if you're drinking BrewDog.
Yeah. Oh my god. But I think having a couple pints with God and just because I like the idea of drinking with someone who has. The best people I've ever drank with, get a few drinks in them. They work like quite harping, I had friends who were quite harping the military, quite harping like certain things. You get a few whiskeys into them.
Yeah.
They start telling you some secrets.
Yeah.
You know, you go out with like quite a well-known comedian. You have a drink with them. You bring up someone and they go, and they start telling you a few stories. Like, fucking hell. So originally I was thinking Richard Nixon. Because I was like, Nixon would fucking have some stories.
Yeah. He looks like he'd be good at a night out.
Apparently Nixon was like, you get a few drinks in him and he'd start going like, yeah,
singing like a canary.
Done a little thing I shouldn't have.
Yeah, well, apparently he'd start going, hey, the guys who got JFK or the guys who got me, he went, they just had to do it differently. That was like apparently his thing.
Wow.
But I think the best one would be God.
Yeah.
Where he would have, he would know everything. He's omniscient.
You know the lot, wouldn't he? Yeah.
So you'd be like, hey, dude, like, do you remember my, like, science teacher, what was like the worst thing they ever did?
Yeah,
like, oh, you know, they did a hit and run and never told him. You'd be like, fuck off and they get me detention.
That's true. You could literally ask him anything about anyone.
About anyone. And like, you just get a couple rounds in.
My worry is that God wouldn't tell you these things because he's God, do you know what I mean? He's gonna,
I think it'd be all right. I think it'd be quite cool.
You think if you get a few drinks in with him, it'd be
couple,
all right?
Couple, yeah. Why would you not want to have a drink with God?
I'm not saying I wouldn't.
He's probably desperate to unload some stuff, isn't he?
Yeah,
he'll go, oh, look, do you know what? I've made a massive mistake with Earth. I made some much better planets. This was like my first effort. It's fucked.
You know, we're actually mates. It's like Blur Oasis. I pick it up, sort of thing like that. Really, it's just we get on all right. Yeah. Sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, he's probably desperate.
God would be a fun person. You know, imagine like going out for a smoke with God. Yeah. So I shouldn't really be doing this, but you know, and like you just like a cigarette, he's like, I'm just a bit of a casual smoker.
Yeah. And he'd tell you all like stories about like other gods, like Zeus is a fucking maniac.
Yeah, he's a prick. Like, oh man, that would be the like greatest drinking companion ever. Yeah. And you'd only want to meet him once. I always think with people like that, like if you ever go drinking with like celebrities, which in like sort of, I'm sure you guys are out in our world, like you can sometimes go into, it's fun to do it once, and you don't overstep that boundary. You go, fucking had a night out drinking with them, and they're like, you go, like, they're fucking sound, they're a cool person. Like, I love that when you go drinking with someone who like, knows a thing or two, you bring and they're like, they're all right, first, and they have a couple cocktails, and they're like, yeah, dude, let me tell you how this really works in my job, right? And you go, fuck
like, you learn insight, don't you?
Yeah. I had it with a couple UFC fighters, some footballers I've met, where you go out, you have a couple of pints, and they're like,
footballers are always great for
footballers. Well, footballers either don't drink or they drink,
I
found in my experience. They're quite, they like a beer or two, or they don't.
Yeah.
And that's, they're great to drink with. Who have you been drinking with?
We've got a mate who's a footballer. Or was a footballer, and he's just a great person to go to.
League Two, basically. Yeah, League Two. So he's got loads of like stories, tin pot football stories.
Yeah. Is he retired?
Yeah.
I think, is it?
Martin Gritton.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Do you know him?
Yeah, I know.
He's friends with Lloyd Griffith.
He's got some of the best stories.
Yeah, he has got some of the best stories.
He's up there in like, if you want a fucking good beer with someone, that
Martin
guy.
Gritton.
Yeah.
One of my favourite people to go drinking with.
Yeah.
Your list goes God and then.
I'll put Gritton above God.
You know what?
Gritton's going to tell you about Portsmouth in 1999.
We'll make special dispensation on this occasion to allow you to drink with both God and former Torquay United forward Martin Gritton.
As soon as you said we've got a, I was like, I bet I know who it is.
Yeah, I'll be the same one.
You are barred. Time to bar something from the pub. You've said what you want in. We know you don't want to slide in there. What else are you barring from your
games.
Menu?
Games. Yeah, like board games. Why the fuck am I walking in a pub and some playing Monopoly? the fuck is going on there? I like board games. I enjoy. I've got friends who love board games, but
just
get out
of
the pub. Go to a board game cafe and play it. And sure, you can drink there and do it. That, again, like, I allow pool and darts, but even then I'm a little bit, it can be a bit distracting.
Yeah.
Mm. A pool table's all right. But there's so many things, and like I was saying with that BrewDog, like, there's so many, it's just, a good pub is some sofas, some sort of nice seats. You sit there, you have a few drinks, and you just talk shit.
Yeah.
But then now people are obsessed with like playing music too loud, trying to make it, you know, have the TV on with a dodgy link to the football. You sit there all day,
Tipexed on glass in the corner, just done it themselves. Well,
there's a pub I used to drink in where they'd like illegally stream the football.
Yeah.
And you'd go down there and then halfway through the game, some porn site would put on. Because it was illegally streamed football. And then you'd be there and there'd be like a dad with his like 12-year-old and he'd be like, oh, for fuck's sake, son, try to cover his eyes.
Yeah.
And then someone would have a bet on, they would find out, you'd do this and go, oh, for fuck's sake, Palace. And then you know we're about to concede off this corner. but yeah, I would ban games, board games, things like that. I think they distract from what the pub is about. Yeah. And I know there's a thing of forced fun that I always say. There's nothing worse than when someone is explaining the rules of a card or a board game to you and you're like, man, I just want to hang out.
Yeah. So all games gone?
Yeah, I'll get rid of the darts and the pool as well. Out of like, just it's got to be gone. I'm not gonna. I can't say games and then go. Oh, but these ones are like. I'm gonna be fair. I'm gonna say
blanket ban
on the games.
I did walk into a pub once in Stavanger in Norway, and it was like a Tuesday afternoon, and there were two like quite attractive girls in their 20s just playing chess in the bar. I thought that's cool.
Yeah. All right, that is cool. That's gone as well.
It's gone as well. Fair enough.
Those attractive girls I'd say, how dare
you stay, but they're not.
No, your bars.
You see people going in your pub and they're like trying to hide the fact they're playing backgammon.
Knocking on the toilets. What's going on in there? Yeah. There's a bunch of people playing solitaire.
Yeah. That's a point. Can you be playing, if you're sat on the toilet, can you be playing Angry Birds on your phone?
That's allowed. I'm a big fan of going to the pub with your phone and just sitting there and putting your headphones on and having a scroll. Like,
so phone games are okay?
Anyone who comes in, you know, like, I think that's the modern day old man with the crossword coming in.
Yeah.
And that'll allow.
Yeah. Crossword allowed
if it's someone over 50.
Sudoku?
On their own. If that's you're on your own, you get a pint and you sit in the corner. Okay. That's fine.
I'll check the rules. I don't want to get kicked out for Wordle.
Yeah.
Okay, games absolutely launched from Elliot's pub.
Drink up, please. It's time.
One final thing to do, and that is name the pub. But before we do that, if people have enjoyed this, as I'm sure they will have done, and want more of you in their life, what can they do? Have you got shows coming up?
Yeah, I've got. I think my time is coming up. Tour's over, but I'll be releasing a special. It seems like in May, and I'm on Instagram at Elliot Steele and Twitter at ElliotSteele.com, and I'm always putting content out and sort of.
And you're gigging a lot.
Always around the place. So look on my Linktree, and I've got shows coming up, and I'll be at the Edinburgh Fringe this year as well with my new show and stuff. So yeah, and then I'll be out in a pub. Drinking afterwards. Edinburgh's a great fucking drinking city as well.
I think that's the
best drinking city around, actually. But Vegas and Edinburgh. Edinburgh for the architecture, Vegas for the just insanity.
I will say you've never been to Norwich, though. So
I'm leaving space for Norwich. Okay, it's got a lot to live up
Norwich
to.
Norwich might fit in there eventually. Wonderful. So Elliot, finally then, what are we going to name this masterpiece of a pub?
The Smoker's Corner, because that's where people, you know, the Smoker's Corner is the best bit.
Of the pub.
Nowadays, if you go out into the garden, you have a cigarette, and that's where the like chats happen. That's where the fun's going on. Especially if it's, you know, I know I've sagged off clubbing and stuff, but if you're ever out in like a bar that's open to like 3, it's a little bit lively, and you go outside and you go, sorry mate, can I make a roll up? Yeah, of course, man. Like, and you just get chatting to someone. What's your night? How's your night going? You get talking to people. Then you buy them a drink. That's fucking brilliant, man. I love that And bars, I was doing these gigs in Austria, the ski festival, and it was like out in the Austrian countryside, so they didn't give a fuck. And they were like, you guys can smoke in it, like in this bar. Fuck, man. Fuck. What a moment that was. And then we were backstage, and the guy was like, dude, smoke backstage. It's like, go for it. I wasn't smoking at the time. I was like, I'm smoking, man.
You started just because of that.
I was like, fuck yeah, dude. If we're going to be smoking, it was just something brilliant about having a pacing. Because sometimes, like, when it is winter and out, you go outside for a cigarette or whatever, and you go out to join your mates for a fag, and you do it really quickly because it's raining, it's windy. But there's something about indoors. You got a pint, you sat there, you're just talking shit, got a few beers. It's so bad for your health. Genuinely suicide, but What a moment in time like that I always look back to. So I always think it'd be cool to have a place called Smoker's Corner.
It's a nice
and then anyone who turns up, you go, sorry, mate, you've got to go outside.
Yeah.
And then have like but a real site, city designated area. Yeah. I just think it'd be funny. Yeah. Oh, is this a Smoker's Corner? Yeah, but out there for that, mate. And you can't take your drink out either. Yeah. Be real hostile about it, like most places are.
No,
like,
ball games.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Elliot, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for joining.
A pleasure.
Amazing.
Yeah, really good fun. You may now return to the other realm. Goodbye.